Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Shoot 360. Let me say that with a little bit more bass in my voice. Toes out when I go to bed. Shoot 360. Yeah, you like that? That's better. My balls dropped, Jason, finally. Jeez. Shoot 360 is the beautiful facility in Memphis where you're going to get better at basketball. That's just the truth of it. You put the time in out there. You use the technology. See it for yourself. It's invested in, backed by, used by NBA players. It's real. And you're going to see the difference. Passing drills, dribbling drills, shooting drills, NBA courts, shooting bays. It's amazing. You got somebody in the house like, I just can't wait. My kid Damo, he's not crawling. Riley is just not. It ain't happening. We don't exactly have Haley Van Lith in the house, right? It ain't what that's going to be. But I'm still holding out hope for young Damo. So as soon as he can put one foot in front of the other, I'm gonna take him out there. Shoot 360 in Memphis.
And call 779-3176 to set up your membership today. Can do a monthly membership. Can do more. They've got you all set up. John said the keyword place is beautiful. New spot, 50,000 square feet. You've got the regulation-sized NBA courts, two of those, three high school courts, and all the shooting bays you need to get a whole lot better. So we know school season's coming up, basketball season's coming up. How about getting a little extra training in? They've got it all out there for you. Again, that number to get your membership to Shoot 360 is 779-3176. The future of basketball training is here. It's at Shoot 360 Memphis.
Norton Hurd IV going to join us around 1:25. We will talk to him about Memphis basketball, certainly among many other things. Get his thoughts on what he saw on Monday night and, you know, just how he thinks the rest of this, this year can go. And I think that's, you know, that's the question that we're all asking right now about this team is, you know, in terms of what we saw, like there's two parts of it. You know, I thought the most disturbing thing about the first half was not even necessarily the offense. It was that the offense was generating like too many turnovers. And they weren't getting back in transition. It was putrid transition defense. And that quickly did stop in the second half. Like they did, you know, even though Missouri actually extended the lead in the second half, like you just kind of felt like they were barely hanging on to that lead. And Memphis eventually did sort of tighten up. And, you know, I just think the key is, especially you got UConn coming up, UConn plays tonight against Sacred Heart. Be their first game action. 35.5-point favorites are the UConn Huskies tonight.
Righty then.
That's a huge number, by the way. Just freaking.
That's a lot.
35.5.
No, I'll cover it.
Yeah, they probably
will. Who is it? Heart? Stony?
Sacred.
Sacred Heart, not Stony Brook.
Yeah, Stony Brook, I don't know who they got. I know Stone Hill plays Notre Dame.
Impressive.
Yeah. I mean, look, dude, I'm an almanac. I'm a college basketball savant. Again, I'll be on Field of 68 tonight with John Henson, Matt McCall, and Mike LaTulip tonight on Field of 68. I saw the fancy new video they put out. Every year they have a new intro to the show, you know, and they go through all the cast members. Mm-hmm. They got a nice a nice visual of me, and I'm the fourth or fifth guy, you know, just you know, almost higher billing there than here. Honestly, it's kind of amazing for somebody that flamed out 10 years ago. It's not bad. It's not bad.
Good luck to you on all your endeavors.
Thank you so much.
And the continued professional endeavors at Field of 68.
Thank you so much.
You could say that we haven't seen, you know, small sample size in terms of what we've seen of these Tigers, and that's true for the one regular season game, but we've actually seen a little bit more. Like, we do know a little bit more about these teams, I think, just because
right.
of the way Penny Hardaway set up the preseason, where you're not just playing those Division II teams. You did get something, it felt like, out of the exhibitions against North Carolina and Alabama in terms of, remember, we said it, establishing pecking order.
Yep.
So important, right? And early on, especially with an all-new team, you know, except for Nick Jourdain, it's an all-new team. You're trying to find out who your leaders are or not, and you're doing it against this non-conference schedule that's got to be one of the best in the country, one of the toughest in the country. And I would tell you, to go back to where we were there with Parth, that was a good thing that happened at halftime of that Missouri game, where you've got, because it's kind of like you talked about, you might have had a concern about how Tyrese Hunter and P.J. Haggerty are going to coexist, right? Because both of them are used to having the ball in their hands. That's what P.J. was at Tulsa. He was everything for them. Bring it up every time. Tyrese is that as well. How's this going to work? When's Tyrese going to get his, right? How's it going to work if P.J.'s doing all the scoring? And in Tyrese Hunter empowering Haggerty at halftime and saying, dude, you got to be the one that's getting to the basket, that pecking order starts to get established. Because you've got a guy willing to say, you know what, it ain't time for me to go out there. I'm talking about Tyrese. And jack up, you know, 3-5, three-pointers, go try to take this game over, because that ain't me. It's a guy that recognizes right there, no, our guy that's got to get to the bucket to be our scorer, because we saw it. We saw it in the second half against Alabama. We saw it against North Carolina, is P.J. Haggerty. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what a leader, and that's what you hope is the benefit of having experienced transfer portal guys. Guys that recognize what they've got to do in situations like that, which is sometimes, John, take a step back. So to me, it's a great sign early that you have this, at least Tyrese Hunter, a guy who could have come in here and say, look, y'all going to fall in line behind me, already recognizing and essentially telling the rest of the team, we got to get behind P.J. Haggerty offensively. Right, we'll do our parts, and that's what you need if you were Penny Hardaway. It's what you were praying and hoping would get figured out that you could do from June, but you don't know, John, until you're playing the games and you're getting into those moments. So I'm not saying that to say, oh yeah, this means, you know, yeah, for sure, Tigers going to the tournament. This was really a good sign. No, but a positive. It feels like to me, especially when you're talking about, John, we're in the same boat. You're flipping rosters now, year after year, and so figuring things out as quickly as possible. And we know it because of chemistry issues. Pecking order is so key here. 2 years ago, when it was Kendrick and DeAndre and the rest of y'all fall in, everything that worked as efficiently as you needed to. That you want to get back to more of that, and you do that with guys like Tyrese Hunter recognizing, you know what, we need to get the ball in PJ's hand. And PJ, you go take over. You know, that is a good sign, and certainly a good thing, because it does feel like Haggerty's not really a vocal leader. You know, he does it more by, you know, yeah, he's an emotional player. You saw that come out on Monday in that second half when they're making that run. But it looked like vocally they needed somebody else, and Tyrese Hunter certainly stepped into that role at halftime and beyond. That's a good sign. You know, that's a good sign. Again, doesn't promise you anything. Still got concerns. I feel like the front court's thin. But those sorts of things starting to work themselves out.
Yeah.
And maybe you're a little further ahead of schedule, John, because you played a North Carolina and an Alabama than you would have been. That bodes well.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just more hopeful than anything else, but I think that's a good sign there that, okay, leaders are already emerging.
Yeah,
and,
no,
and
I
it's
think,
happening naturally.
No, I don't think that's a stretch at all.
You're not saying, go be the leader, you know, trying to – Penny Hardaway, you can have that, you know, based on guys' experience where they've been. You can have it in your mind who's going to be the leaders for you. You can have an idea of it from summer workouts and everything else. But like we've said, until you get into these games and these high-pressure moments, and particularly these moments of adversity, you're not going to know if those guys that you had penciled in to do that are capable of it. Javon Quinterly last year. But it, you know, and so that's got to be a good thing for Penny to have seen what he saw at halftime. And really, maybe not even so much him saying, we got to be better. Your players took it over, and a pecking order perhaps started to get established.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it actually, I think, is a good call out, because one of the things about last year that I think you wondered, and you're like, who was that guy? I mean, I know who the leading scorer was. You know, I know who was doing most of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like when it got to be nut cutting time, I don't think anybody knew like who they could look to, who was going to take charge of that situation, and kind of, because again, you had it really the previous 3 years with DeAndre at the absolute least, because everybody, you know, he was the guy, he was the oldest, he was experienced, like you had that. Then you bring in Kendrick was that guy alongside DeAndre,
right.
So and that's why, no coincidence, that's as close as Memphis has ever been to breaking through, to winning going to a Sweet 16. They had their best record that year. You had multiple guys that had veteran leadership on the floor that weren't like, you know, bickering with each other about, you know, oh, this, that, the other, I'm not getting paid, I'm not starting, la, la, la. It was great. And it was funny, like we criticized the Elijah McCadden addition. We said, you know, man, this is a drop off, but he actually fit really well because you didn't need everybody to be great. You didn't need everybody to be a great scorer. Mm-hmm. You needed some secondary dudes. And I think, you know, that's why that's Penny's best team. We'll see about this one. It looks like there could be a natural sort of, you know, distribution of roles. It feels like that. If Tyrese is kind of the main ball handler, PJ's kind of more two-ish, right, than point guard. It feels like Tyrese is more.
I mean, what's weird is PJ will have more assists at the end of the game than Tyrese Hunter. That's the thing. He can set guys up when he gets to the basket, but – to your point, I it doesn't have to be Tyrese bringing it up every time, but what this is a guy who seems to understand, hey, I can, you know, whether it's me bringing it up or whether it's me just setting, you know, whether it's me setting up PJ, empowering him, I'm going to do what I have to. This is not a guy who, like Javon, it felt like at times, feel, okay, I'm going to take this thing over, it's mine. You're not getting that, it feels like, from the quote-unquote head of your snake. John, in the end, it might – Haggard, he's going to be everything for you. That's what he was at Tulsa. You don't want to take the playmaking away from him and just tell Tyrese, oh, you go out and get all the assists. But I just – when you've got a guy that's willing to come off the gas a little bit because he sees, you know, right now and frankly, maybe all season, Haggerty's our go-to. I mean, what are we talking about here? Through three games, Haggerty's shown he – dude, if it's against North Carolina, he can score and get to the bucket. I'd be concerned if Tyrese Hunter was still feeling like, oh man, the best team, you know, the best thing for this team is going to be for me to go out and score 21 to, you know, 25 points a game after watching what he's seen with PJ. So my point is, whether it's, again, you know, Tyrese is leading you in assists or not, this is a guy who is clearly, at least by his sort of, you know, judgment of the situation, his actions at halftime, looks like he's going to be the leader, the vocal leader. And you let Haggerty do it all in the scoring department.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, again,
hopefully those other guys, you know, then you got the Colbys and the, you know, that you need in those third and fourth roles. But you can maybe see a sort of this naturally, you know, coming together in
a
way.
Yes. Yeah. I think you probably won't necessarily know exactly until they get kind of punched in the mouth, right? How they'll respond to that. But, you know, I feel like, you know, again, you may have that, you know, again, we probably would have said they had the right mix 17 games in the last season, right? Like, we got to put our head on the stove a little bit here.
What's the risk you run, right, of falling in love?
Yeah.
Thinking it's all done.
Yeah, no, I would definitely not say I'm in love. I would definitely say, like, I see potentially some upside if it tracks, you know, but I also see that it's going to be a grind like no other every night.
It might have. Cincinnati used to win rock fights. That's what they did.
That's right.
You know, under Hug and everybody, a Cronin even. They would win rock fights. They weren't some beautiful, efficient offense. They would muck it up, and they would beat you up. And that, to me, and that's the other thing I think we've seen from the three games, Memphis, even without Tyreke Smith, has the potential to be real sticky and make it an ugly, nasty game. And that might be the best way for winning for this team. You know, Haggerty's not this ultra efficient player. You know, you may just have to scrap and hold guys under 60 points. But the thing I think I feel better about seeing three games than I did last year, and I will say, like the Missouri game, that second half they shut Missouri down. It was very similar to this one. There were people that we were tweeting was like, look at the way Memphis guards. Oh my gosh! Like we were going nuts about their defensive effort. But clearly, and losing Caleb Mills later on was a big part of that. It didn't, you know, you didn't have a Musa Cisse at the rim. They didn't have a rim protecting those kinds of things. My point is the pieces are here to really getting back to something good to elite defensively. That's what it feels, that, you know, that stickiness, that ability to turn it into a rock fight. And frankly, it might end up being, because John, I don't think you're past your offensive struggles or shooting concerns. It might end up being your greatest attribute, the fact that that kind of team you are defensively. Again, Missouri, bottom of the barrel in the SEC. You know, to see it against them in the second half and it work is one thing. Doing it against the UConns when you get to Maui is going to be different, but the pieces for that, for what Penny wants to be defensively, look like they're there.
Yeah.
They got some dogs. I mean, there are some dogs out there. And Musa was a dog. He played like a dog.
Like a dog.
On Monday.
Like
and
a dog.
If you're going to get that kind of effort from him and mix with, my gosh, a little bit of improved skill, especially at the free throw line, I feel good about, you know, this Memphis team and its chances again getting back to the tournament.
Yes,
because that's the expectation.
Yes, people can get who's a team that has had success, you know, as dogs recently. Like, that's how McNeese State won a bunch of games last year.
Man, you're not gonna keep bringing them up.
I'm just saying that's how they did.
Second day in a row.
They did lose to South Dakota State.
And they're 0-1, bro.
They're 0-1, but last year they had a good year. So, like, again, college basketball is an ugly product.
I said like McNeese. Play like McNeese.
Well, you can't play like
that's Gonzaga. Really something to aspire.
You can't
to.
Play like Gonzaga, bro. I mean, like, give me a. You can't play like Kentucky.
I mean, I use the Cincinnati example because you remember Cincinnati teams.
But that was like 1998.
McNeese and Will Wade.
That was 20
Will
years
Wade
ago.
Will Wade really getting after it down there, huh?
You brought up
0-1.
That's just as
who
bad.
Who was
as,
he missing, John? I'm sure you know that.
I don't know.
He had some guys down.
No, they were 9-point favorites. They closed as 9-point favorites. They lost the outright. So, yeah.
Good Lord.
Make no mistake about
it. Disappointing.
Yeah. Just try to be them. Just try to, like, but again, any
wasn't
team
Ticket
like that.
McNeese for a minute? Somebody like that?
Maybe.
A while back.
Maybe so.
Okay.
I don't have Tick's, you know, career. He was. He sure was. He was there from 01 to 06. Yep. That's actually where he went right after the Memphis scandal.
See?
He was there as an assistant, and then he got the job for 5 years. So I'm not saying like Tick's McNeese State, although he did make the tournament in his first year as head coach, never did again.
You just wouldn't let him do it here.
Is that Louisiana? Where is that at, McNeese? Do you
yes,
know?
Is it? Yes, I believe it is.
That sounds right. Yeah, but yeah, like if you just have to, you know, play with some purpose defensively. I hope that's enough. Again, hard way to live, I think, but you know, there's some chance that Memphis has better days offensively. Like Colby could have a better day, you know what I'm saying? That's your upside is Colby.
You need
Jordan,
your boy Dane to be
Dane.
You know, just more consistent offensively if they're going to get some sort of balance. You know, shooting's going to be on off. You basically got two guys out there that can shoot it, you know, but you need something consistent that you can trust, you can rely on inside in terms of a scoring threat. I loved what Musa did. I can't depend on it right now, what he did offensively. That's supposed to be Dane. I mean, from the resources and everything been allocated, how much time, you know, spent on getting him, need that to come around. Hopefully we'll see a little bit more of it against UNLV.
Exactly.
Some consistency.
Memphis back in action, Saturday against UNLV?
Yes, on the road.
Just got the text from ESPN Las Vegas. They're getting fired up about it out there, clearly. Just been reached out to by ESPN Las Vegas. They want to talk about Memphis. They want to know what's up. What should I give them, like, some fake information? Catch them off guard? Like, yeah, it sounds like Memphis is going to be down a couple guys, man. You know, you don't have to worry about any of the top scorers. Sounds like they got, you know, got some things they're dealing with. They're going to get that false complacency.
Tell them to watch out for Jared Harris.
I didn't even tell him Musa Cisse, bro. Watch out for Musa Cisse.
No, you just stay calm on Musa, Lou, because we've heard you
get, that's right.
When you get giddy about
nah,
Musa.
What I'll say is I'm hearing Tyreek Smith's going to have a big game for Memphis on Saturday.
Dude, they're going to hang up on you. They're going to ask you about the Tyreek deal.
Yeah.
That's been in the news.
Yeah.
They're going to say, if Penny have control down there, John, and you're going to say.
Did you watch second half? That man had it away out of control. Because I'm sitting there, I'm panicking at the half. I'm like, oh, my God.
I think we all were.
And he put the headset on.
Penny calmed us when he put that headset on.
And he said, everybody relax. Everybody just calm down.
He did look like he knew.
Yeah. Like, he's like, this team is going to be fine. We shoot the ball more than anybody in the world. Just sit back. And, boy, did we. We sat back. 51-33 second half. Amazing.
Finished 40% from three.
Amazing. Finished 40% from three. What do we know? We'll talk to Norton Hurd the fourth about all that and more on the other side. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Norton Hurd IV is the team, Thad, program director and coach, Silver Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball. You can follow him on X. He's on all the social medias and on X at Dream Big Hurd. And he's on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. He joins us now like he does every Wednesday. Coach, I'm very eager to hear what you thought about the Tigers' performance on Monday against Missouri. Was a tale of two halves, I thought. What say you?
Oh, good afternoon, you guys, Brad, Jason, John. Hope all is well. It was pretty much what I it was really a tale of, I feel like Memphis had played close to rough to bad basketball, maybe a little more than a half, maybe three quarters, maybe a little less. But I really treat basketball like life, Jason, because as worse it was getting, as bad as it was getting at times, when I say the crowd was down on it, when I say if you could hear the comments in the building, I was actually there most of the night. And then the last 10, 12, 13 minutes from going down to being down, double digits half the game, being down, turnover, turnover, missed shots, the boy from Tulsa wasn't playing well, to we winning by getting up double digits. We winning by double digits. Oh, we almost won by double digits. And the kid ended with 25 points. I just think it was really one big for the city, because, and big for Penny, and big for the program, because right now, I feel like for whatever reason, media, fans, we so on edge right now. And I could feel like, honestly, if he would have lost that game, it would have been like Jeffrey do on Mondays, overreaction. I mean, if you could hear some of the comments I heard within the first half, you would have thought we was 0-20.
They were getting booed, too, apparently, at one point. No, some were booing the officials, but Penny talked about it afterwards, said booing the team. So, I mean, you must have heard it being there.
Yeah, I was there. I mean, you could hear it everywhere because, you know, I was in a good position and had a lot of good people there over that day. So I started off, you know, courtside and worked my way to different suites. And it was just, so I went throughout the whole building on that Monday. A lot of Nike people was in town. And, yeah, I'm so proud for the team, the city, and him. Because winning does solve a lot of problems in basketball. And I think it made everyone so much happier. When you see after the game, it felt like a lot of stress was all Penny. The players, the fans were happy walking outside back to, you know, Bill and things of that nature. And I don't know what's going on here, because I don't feel like it should be that much stress over a first game win or lose. But it was like it was a must-win. Jason, this is how they was acting. It was a must-win game almost.
Well, I think probably more narrative too, that what was going on, right? Because you had spoke to it. You know, you had Tyreek Smith leave the team. I know they knew since Saturday, but just in terms of optically, to your point, you got a guy leaving. You've changed the staff a few weeks before. You know, if you go out and play the way you did in the first half and the second half, I think you know, with guys leaving, then to your point, yeah, folks are going to be, they're going to pile on to that narrative. Oh, it looks bad. It looks bad. Not, you know, it's your first game, so no game is, you know, must win, but I'm with you. I mean, they needed that, brother, because the alternative would have been, it had been pretty bad in terms of the things being said about the program.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to be real with you, Jason. It would have been probably,
yeah,
really, like, think about this. Baylor, even though he was playing a better opponent, Scott Drew, I think, is a top five coach, whatever. He just lost by 30-some points their first game.
Mm-hmm.
They were ranked way, unless I'm looking at it wrong, I thought Gonzaga was like 18. I could be wrong. It was like 5 or 6. I could be wrong. And if that would have happened to Memphis, I could see people saying fire Penny today. I mean, that's how bad the comments were the first half. Oh, this just don't look good. I mean, I'm sure you went there, but you could imagine how it was going down. So I'm just happy they got that win. And Missouri got a good team too this year. And I feel like both teams were similar. You know, they got Mark Mitchell, which is a former top 10.
Yeah, what happened to him, Hurd? He was not effective at all. I was expecting more from him. You were watching close.
Yeah, so Mark Mitchell, excuse me, he averaged double digits at Duke. He's a former top 10 McDonald's All-American out of Kansas City, played for my guy LJ. And what I see, though, is as good as he is, Missouri had to make a lot of promises to get him there.
Mm.
And
I'm sure
they tried to go through him a lot. And when they tried to, when they swung the ball and made shots, they actually looked a lot better. But, you know, he's just trying to get into the flow. He's a good player, but, you know, like I always have told you, guards run everything to me. And the thing was, Missouri, sound crazy, came out a little bit more relaxed and loose than Memphis did early on.
Mm-hmm.
Even though in college, I think college is the biggest home court advantage you can have. Pros a little bit, but really in college, home court advantage mean a lot. And I felt like we came out nervous, Coach. Our guards, even early on, we had so many fast breaks and looked crazy. But we was just turning the ball over. Like, I mean, on some elementary stuff, not on no college. You know what I mean? And so I just think we were a little just so hyped for the game. And maybe, you know, then you got to look at it, too. Even though the exhibition games were just exhibition games, you still lost them. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
So a little doubt can't creep in, you know what I mean, if
yep.
you hadn't won a game in a second. So I think it was a mixture of several things. But, you know, just thankful. I'm sure they all thankful for the win, though. And I think that would hit their confidence and take things to another level.
What do you think of just, you know, the way, like the stylistically? Because last year it was definitely, you know, there was one way they won, which was they had to outscore everybody. It was like 90 a game, 85, 90, maybe even more a game. And it was fun to watch from that perspective, but they really struggled to get stops when they had to get stops. And, you know, it became a big problem at the end of the season. It's definitely not going to be a problem this year. You're never going to have to worry about Memphis scoring 100 points, probably. But the defense definitely looks much improved, much upgraded. So what do you just make of the difference in style and just how much more sustainable you think it is the way that Memphis will play and probably have to win this year?
Well, I think it's sustainable, one, because John, I think it's sustainable because, one, I like it that I feel like the team, to me, is more tougher mentally. And mental toughness means a lot, guys, more than you might think in sports. Meaning is, do you remember last year, even though the talent was a little higher, how bad things got when things went wrong? Sometimes something could go bad, and it was somebody we had that was a little, you know, mentally weaker, three people in it. That, to the point, they were down 3/4 of that game. And those guys, even some of the ones that I didn't look as talented when you were sitting there, they never gave up. They accept coaching. I didn't see a lot of people coming to the bench with any attitudes. You know what I mean? I felt it was a good vibe, and everyone stayed encouraged. And with that, like you said, John, defensively, I think they stayed locked in, which would kept them in the game. I think Musa played really good. Yes. I think him and that other guy are a good match of rotation. I was telling Jeffrey on Monday that less is more sometimes. We're in an era where we're playing small ball, a lot of teams, not, you know what I'm saying, like 90%. So having four bigs is actually not always a good thing. Usually the good teams have three, and that third person, they all keep rotating each other out. That fourth guy don't get much unless it's like a Kansas, North Carolina, somebody who just really know how to use bigs. You know what I mean? And so the Tyreek thing to me wasn't as a killer as I thought, as long as we don't have no other injuries. And, you know, and if it was going to cause that much drama.
How about Musa Cisse, one of your former players and a guy who, when he left here, we've talked about it all week, talked about it since Monday. When he left here, Penny, you know, we talked about Penny couldn't play him at the end of the games because he's missing free throws. And then there he was on Monday night, and you're watching. He's in there at the end of the game. He's in there late in the second half, and he's making them. He goes 6-10, which is, you know, a world away from where he was before he left Memphis, and is able to play down the stretch, ends up giving you 14-7. I see a guy who's not just a – hey, I'm going to be a leader here coming back as a more experienced player. But I see a guy who's worked to improve his game, it feels like, and maybe is going to give them a little bit more offensively than he could back in the day-to-day. What you think about his improvement?
You know, I'm really proud of him because, you know, I feel like he has went through a lot of adversity. And I'm not going to even say caused by others, but just how much hype he had out of high school. Yeah. And I feel like things went down and reality kicked in, and, you know, he kind of been, you know, offensively subpar, this and that. So, to me, to have the night he had, crucial plays, I think he had something like 14-7. He was able to send at the end of the game. He was able to make free throws. Man, I think that if I'm Memphis, I'm very happy about the momentum of him and the team.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I
that's a good sign.
You know, I love Ty. Like, you kind of, I mean, he's the same guy, right? Like, he didn't. I was once told
he grown man now, though.
I ain't gonna name no names, but I was once told he was like 80% from NBA range in the off season.
I know you didn't tell him that, Coach.
No, it was not you. It was definitely not you. But well, why do you think somebody would say that to me? Just they thought it'd be funny if I reported that publicly, because I did.
Well, if it wasn't a family member, which they all think that, if it wasn't a family member, I will tell you this. You might not believe this, John, but I didn't have the privilege to go to a lot of off-season workouts with high-level D1s, NBA guys, and stuff like that. And actually, a lot of those guys, I remember back in the day, Chris Massey, I was young. I didn't know what was going on. I showed up to a Memphis workout. Man, was hitting plenty of threes. I'm like, hold on. Like, I'd never seen him take it. Then, Dwight Howard, Cousin, all the. You go see them work out in the summer. Musa played like pickup, was just on some pro-am stuff. They actually do be hit. Now, granted, I don't know if they could do it against people they same level with the lights on and 20. But so when somebody said that, I'm sure Musa got some videos as crazy as it sounds where that he's working out or some and or having some off-season workout where he might have hit quite a few threes. But in a real college game, you're not going to take a three from me, sir.
It, smart. If you think about all the players you've had over the years, Musa Cisse got to be among, and I'm guessing, you can correct me, got to be among the most athletic, right? Who have you had in terms of like, and you've had guards and everything else. I don't want to make it a too broad a conversation, but bigs as athletic as him. We were talking, you know, Devontae Adams called Ja Morant the most athletic professional athlete in the world. So we've been talking about great athletes today. And it seems to me like Musa Cisse, the way he runs like a gazelle up and down the floor at that size, certainly fits the bill of super athletic. Have you had many that have been more athletic than him?
Yeah, I mean, we've had quite a few athletic people. He probably in my top 5 or 10 ever coached.
I'll take that.
You know, the kid at Texas A&M is very athletic, Solomon Washington, the five-star stopper. Yeah. He ain't number by 6'7", 6'8". He was holding people Musa-sized. He was one. OG Andy Obi was really athletic. LeGero Big and Terrence Davis was really – Matthew Morrell is really athletic. Matthew Morrell might be 6'4". He's taking off from the free throw line, been doing that since Whitehaven High School. So we done had – quite a few athletes. I'm even missing a few, though. But, you know, even on our down years when we couldn't get the most skilled, high-profile player, we usually would build a team around tough, athletic guys.
Yeah. Is there like some reverberation? It's like echoing back at me. I feel like I'm talking to myself sometimes here. It's not, I don't know whose fault it is. Where are you, by the way? You're not in studio.
It's in the library.
This is very upsetting to me that you're not in studio, as you know. Are you traveling? Are you doing some work for Team Thad today?
I got some work, you know. I got some work to do, and I'm trying to kind of study up on the new laws. Every time we have a new president, I want to make sure I'm in compliance. So this is the day after. So I like to read up and study up on the new, you know, like Brad will tell you, I got some training to do when I get off the phone.
That's
92.9.
Right.
So I like to stay in compliance.
That's right.
And right now, I just want to be in compliance with America, right? And
right.
So I'm just making sure, you know, what's going to change. That's all.
Yeah, read it up on those tariffs.
Yeah, just everything.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, man.
What are Thad's plans, Coach? I just went and looked to make sure. You know, the season has started, and our man, as far as I know, hadn't announced his retirement. Are there offers on the table? Is he considering them? Is it a deal where, okay, maybe this we are getting towards? Oh, obviously, we know we're towards the end. Is this the end? Does he want to keep playing? What's the plan?
So the plan was the last year regardless. This would be year 18. So he will be on a team before the year out quite soon. I believe he is negotiating with some people. He did turn a couple of situations down. I ain't going to say turned them down. I don't want to say that live. But, yeah, he wasn't interested in a couple of situations that were offered over the summer because, you know, with his last year and at his age, he kind of – know what he wanted at this point as far as, you know, a playoff team, a deep run team, or maybe even a warm city. The other cup offers he had, you know, it was, you know, an offer to come play some and mentor some youth guys, which he loved to do it. But they was a kind of some, you know, horrible, you know, franchise at the moment, and that's why they probably needed him to come mentor, you know, and they wasn't. And then he was just, you know, I didn't done enough. You know what I'm saying? I think I want to choose how I go out. But he actually was with me. A lot of people might not know the first half before we had to hit different suites because you had Nike in town, you had a few other people. He was with me at the Memphis game. We were front row behind Penn in the first game, then we was moving around. So he was at the game Monday. He came in town for a couple of days. So he was here.
I'm glad. No more mentoring on bad teams. And I appreciate what he did for the Bulls because that felt like him in that situation for the years. And LaVine even talked about how much Thad meant to him and helped him that year and what he did as a teammate for him. But I feel you on what you're saying with Thad. Like at this point in your career, you've done that. You've given back. If I'm coming back, I want to be on a contender or make a deep run or at least a warm city, like you said. He's earned that, Coach. He doesn't need to be pouring into young, bad teams anymore.
Oh, no, he can go out the right way. He earned it. And you know he really earned it when you can also, you know, some people go pick it, one, because not just because they want to be in the NBA, but some people go pick it like, oh, it's a paycheck. So you know he definitely earned it when he ain't just got to rush to the paycheck either, though, you know, because he has a lot of other things. So, yeah, he'll be on the team for the year out. Like, as you can see, we don't wish nothing on nobody, but even early on in the NBA season – a lot of bigs have been getting hurt. Indiana had two. Orlando had one. You know what I mean? And so we're not wishing nothing, but the NBA is a long, rugged season. And so with that, you know, he definitely be on the team. He still got it in him. But this will be his last year, his 18th year in the NBA.
There you go. Heard, appreciate it as always,
man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. No problem,
bro. Yes, sir. Yes, Norton Heard IV joins us every Wednesday here on the show. Good stuff there. This is it for that. I mean, what
about that? I think we talked about touchdown, but I wasn't aware.
Yeah.
But this is definitely it.
Now we know. All right, we'll come back, wrap this up on a Wednesday. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN. Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings. And this fall, right now, is the number one time to get engaged. You get more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have an enormous collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds, all shapes, all sizes. They make custom designing your engagement ring easy and risk-free with the Meant to Be guarantee. Meant to Be guarantee is very simple. You buy your loose diamond and custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You have 365 days to return it. Who else out there is looking for out for you like Robert Irwin? Nobody. Get over there today. Say what's up to Howie.
Got a bunch of perks, too, when you buy your engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers. A bunch of perks that I didn't get from the big box store that I got Faith's from. Free ring sizing for life. If your RIJ engagement ring or wedding band no longer fits, and that happens to us as we get older, Robert Irwin Jewelers says ring sizing is free for life. And you've got the jewelry spa service for life. Maintenance, basically, for that ring. And you spend enough money on it, you want it to shine on a finger, right? So how about this free jewelry spa service? It, again, comes as one of the perks for shopping at Robert Irwin Jewelers. The great thing about shopping with Howie is that he's going to make you a deal you can't believe. That's how he's stayed in business for 40 years now. Don't ask me how he's making money. I can't figure it out yet. And yet, like we've said, been successful for over 40 years, his family has. So trust him. He's going to get it done for you. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Perkins Extended, Bartlett Town Center, South Lake Center in South Haven, Mississippi, or online at rijewelers.com.
We're back, Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN. It's a pretty – you got the Grizzlies, obviously, hosting the Lakers tonight. I think Anthony Davis is going to play because that number got to 2, and now it's back to 1.5. So I do think Anthony Davis will play. If he does not, I do expect this to go out to – I don't know. I don't even know. 4.5, 5.5.
I mean,
sure.
No Rui either. He's a starter. They're not getting much from their bench. So
I think Anthony Davis.
If Davis didn't play, but I'm like you. I expect him to play, especially they're coming off a loss to the Pistons.
Right. Like, they played 39
lost 3 out of 4.
But you know, watching Anthony Davis at
any time. He's listed as questionable. It probably, you know, probably means he's going.
Yeah.
It certainly would for the Grizzlies.
Exactly right. So you got
maybe the debut of Luke Kennard as well.
Yeah, they need it.
Would be helpful.
Yeah, they certainly do.
Especially with Bane out, you could use the shooting.
Absolutely. Because that's lacking right now.
Yeah, and again, Jalen Wells only going, he didn't play well the other night, and you figure that's going to happen at some point for as consistent he's been as well as he's been shooting it. And so, yeah, the guys that you know can do it, like a Luke Kennard, be nice to have them back and doing it, especially with, again, Bane out.
Yeah, there was a stretch where, like, it felt like the Grizzlies kind of, I ain't going to say owned the Lakers, but they definitely had their number a little bit. It was brief.
Yeah, I feel like that's been turned.
But it has turned back. Yeah, they got to have that playoff. But you know that what I'm talking about, like the 2021, 2022, and then they had the playoff series last year, mm-hmm. or the year before last, I should say. It was last season. It was 2022, 2023 season where they played the Lakers in the playoffs. And the Lakers obviously handled them and kind of been doing that ever since. But there was a brief moment where they were under LeBron's skin, you know. Every time they play, Grizzlies just got, were able to get the better of them. But
yeah, I think Dylan Brooks got us all the way back on the other side of that, where we're just taking, he switched it. He motivated them, put it that way.
Yeah, that's actually probably a lot of what it was. Yeah. But no Bane tonight. So that will not help. Because you're going to have to figure out a way to guard, But, it's definitely a winnable game now.
Dude, they're thin.
Yeah, they're very thin.
They don't have much of a supporting cast.
But they're giving, Max Christie big minutes. I mean, big enough coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. So, it's definitely a winnable game at home. That's why you're favored.
You're 10th in the standings. You got to start winning some of these games against the Lakers you want to be ahead of. So, it better start happening soon, even shorthanded.
Yeah, because you don't want to be in a situation where, you're having to be in the play-in. And
As ESPN, some others have predicted.
That's right. That's right. It kind of is starting to look like, maybe they had something, they had something. They appear to be kind of on the right track.
Just let us get close to the hole first, and it feels like we're getting Bane's going to be the last one. I think.
That just may be part of the calculation, That the Grizzlies will not just not be whole. That's just it's a thing that continues to be an issue for them. So, you got that tonight. Obviously, we'll have the call here on 99 FM ESPN. I believe this game's at 7, so it started,
6:30 pregame. Yeah,
6:30 pregame. So, it's a big one. It's a big one, and you hope that the Grizzlies can find a way to not go under 500 again. But even if they do, there are some very manageable games coming up. That is the beauty of it, right? You got the Wizards on Friday. You got the Trailblazers after that. Then you play the Lakers there before playing the Warriors.
A good spot to start a little run here.
NBA
again,
Cup.
All of those teams, including the Lakers, are teams you expected and hoped to have beneath you in the standings.
Yeah. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Norton Herd IV for joining us. Thanks to Partha Padhyay for joining us on Memphis Basketball. Jeffrey and company up next. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence.
As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.